Greetings to you all. In this August, this is David Gortner from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This is Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho. We've been on a long series over the summer looking at power. Power in the world, power that can easily be corrupt, corrupted, abused, manipulated, and the power of God that transforms and changes and addresses the powers of this world in surprising ways. So, in a world where power is often abused, God gives us the power to speak the truth with wise and courageous love. In a world of usurpers, where power is seized and control is taken, where everything can become a contest for winner-take-all, God's power breaks into the world through loving our enemies, through forgiving. In a world where alliances are valued so highly that being right and being on the right side takes over people's minds and divides the world into us and them. In such a world, God brings the wall-breaking power of raw self-offering, as we find in Jesus. So, God does not neglect this world. God has not neglected this world. God has not neglected you, friends, or me. God doesn't desire to rule anyone out or to turn anyone away. With every person, every people, every nation, God desires that no one be lost, that everyone find the light, the truth, the way, the door, the bread of heaven, that every single one be raised up in the end. These are words of Jesus. And there are words of Jesus in this ongoing portion of the Gospel of John that we are hearing over and over in these weeks about the bread of life. Words we don't hear in today's selected section of the Gospel that are incredibly important. Let me read these for you because I think these words really get at the heart of what Jesus was trying to get to and to get across to the crowd and the religious leaders and his own disciples. So let's fill in the gap with some verses that we didn't hear in the recitation of the gospel reading. This is from John 6, starting at verse 35. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then it goes on from there in the verses that were left out of the gospel reading. "But I told you that you have seen me and still don't believe. Everyone whom the Father gives to me will come to me, and I won't send away anyone who comes to me. I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I won't lose anyone or anything that he's given me, but I will raise it up on the last day. This is my Father's will, that all who see the Son and believe in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." The Jewish opposition grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." Now, note where Jesus goes. He begins by saying, "I'm the bread of life," which is the focus of these weeks that we are reading from the Gospel of John. And he's inviting all to take in what he's offering, like nourishment, in their deepest and inmost parts. That's what he's getting across. But then he goes on to say what is most important. "I won't send away anyone who comes to me. I won't lose anything or anyone the Father's given me. And I will raise them up on the last day. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry or thirsty, will never be lost, will always be in my embrace. Whoever takes me in will have me always. Bringing nourishment to them and growth to them and life and change they never imagined. This is what Jesus is offering, the complete embrace of God, the giver of life, the promise that what God most desires is that no one be lost, no one, and the assurance that he brings us into full and unending joyful relationship with God. It's when we allow ourselves to open up fully to Christ Jesus, when we take Christ in and allow Christ to be our food and drink, our nourishment in every fiber of our being, it's then when we can truly and freely live in the power of the Holy Spirit and move through this world as the images of God we were created to be, as offerers and ambassadors of God's amazing grace. In the Gospel of John, there's no final Lord's Supper like we find in the other Gospels, where bread and wine are shared at the last Passover meal before his capture, trial, and death. At the Passover meal in John, we have Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But it's really here in John, in chapter 6, that we have a vision of the Eucharist, in the feeding of the 5,000, from so few loaves of bread and some fish, and in all of Jesus' further invitation in that chapter to see him as the bread of heaven, the bread of life. It's here in John chapter 6 that we get a picture of how God is continuing and spreading the incarnation through us, how Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, extends this miraculous presence to us in the food shared. From this, we're empowered to live as Paul calls us to live in his letter to the Ephesians, to speak the truth, to work honestly and seek to have something to share with those in need, to use our anger well for the sake of truth and justice and care, and then to let our anger go. To speak in a way that builds up others and communities that we encounter. To let ourselves become the Holy Spirit's vessels of kindness and tenderheartedness. To forgive in the same fullness that Christ forgave us. You know, it may not seem possible. It may seem that the challenges and injustices of life prevent us from living such lives of grace. But then, are we saying that the challenges and injustices of life that we encounter can actually prevent and block the incredible life-changing power of the Holy Spirit? Are we daring to say that? So with that, let's turn to the Old Testament about King David. King David found himself in a complete mess. One of his sons, his third son, the son of a wife who was a princess of a small neighboring kingdom, had risen up to usurp his kingdom. Like in so many of the ancient kingdoms and empires of this world, sons rose up to overthrow their fathers. And this became part of the stories they told of the ancient gods as well, so that it was accepted as a part of the natural flow of power in this human world. There's quite a story leading up to Absalom's seductive rise to power and his abuse of power. And his own story is really a tragic one. But we come in the reading today where Absalom has overtaken the city and then has gone to war to find David. David could have mustered an army immediately to overthrow Absalom, but he withdrew from Jerusalem and fled with his soldiers and followers into the desert. When Absalom had come into Jerusalem, taken over, and then finally mustered a large force to go after David and kill him in the wilderness, David and his followers successfully engaged battle and won the day. And according to the scriptures, many more of Absalom's soldiers mysteriously perished in the forest than did on the battlefield. Now, David had ordered Joab, his commander, and the other commanders not to do any harm to his son. See, he still loved Absalom and didn't want him to be lost. But Joab found Absalom caught by the head in a tree. Against the will of the king, and against the reminding about the will of the king from his fellow commanders, Joab grabbed 3 spears and ran them through the heart of Absalom. And soldiers with Joab proceeded to fully murder, kill Absalom, and then bury his body under stones. When David found out, he was brokenhearted. He wept for his son. Joab was angry that David wept because, as he said, it left his soldiers confused and embarrassed, when actually Joab was, without saying it, saying, "You're embarrassing me and bringing shame on me for what I've done." But David showed mercy. David was ready to lead with love, even for the one who had betrayed him and sought to kill him. David was ready to lead with love. Imagine weeping and praying as David did. "Would to God I had died in your place, O Absalom, my son. Friends, this is just one taste of what it means to pour out our hearts for others and the world around us. This is the kind of love God has for each and every one of us, for all humanity and all creation. We read and hear this cry of David, and hear in it the sorrowing cry of God, who seeks us, yearns for us, desires our life, and opens the door for us no matter what we've done. This is God's cry. "Oh, would that I had died for you." And this is just what God has done for us all. Friends, let us open ourselves to receive this Jesus, this one who is God in the flesh. Let us open ourselves to take Jesus in, to nurture and strengthen and transform us in every fiber of our being. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to blow like steady wind through us and carry us wherever God wishes us to go. Let us allow Christ to be bread for us, and ourselves to be that same intimate, loving, powerful presence of God to others, as offerers and ambassadors of the Lord of life, who lives in us for the sake of this hungry world.